Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey guys, welcome back. Glad you're taking a little time off the ice. Yeah, it's a wonderful season so far. Steph and I are in the studio. The boys, Chad and Anthony, they're on the way back from South Dakota. I think Anthony flew back because he was missing his new bride a little more than Chad. But Becca, forgive Chad. He did win out there and pay for a little gas money while he was gone. So not a big deal. Steph, how have you been this week?
Doing good. Had a long day there out there Saturday on Reeds for our Invitational. That was a fun time, but got to learn a lot of that lake that I didn't otherwise know.
Yeah, we drilled a lot of holes that day. It was a pretty testing day on our big Milwaukee drills. We explored a lot of ice. We found some decent-sized perch. I cleaned them perch up. Man, they looked bigger on the ice.
Yeah.
They weren't like the big slab crappies that we got into in the evenings, but
no,
it was a great day out there fishing. Now, Sunday was a tough one. The front had come through, and the temperature had dropped. And when we left the ice, old Pat Bloom and I left that ice, I think it was about 6 degrees.
Yeah, when I left Croton, I got out there, it was 22 degrees. When I left, it was 11 and dropping. That ice was going off like shotguns. Big old cracks going across there. It was great.
Oh, yeah. You know, I like watching the new guys that get out there and they see that ice and they're like, oh, yeah, this is great. And they drill a hole and, yeah, 6, 7, 8 inches thick and stuff. But then it starts making a noise, a popping and a cracking, and a big old crack shoots across the lake and stuff. They pucker right up.
Yeah, like my brother.
Oh, your brother Dale.
Oh, yeah.
He is a fraidy cat on the ice. Sorry, Dale, but you are. But anyway, we had a great day out there fishing. We had met a lot of cool new people. People came out and saw us. We had the banner up for a while until the tent started blowing away because we were lazy and didn't screw it down.
Yeah, that wind picked up that afternoon, and it was like, woohoo. You didn't want to face into it because I was all the way across that lake drilling holes. And that Milwaukee battery held up. I was on the same battery all day, and I drilled well over 100 holes.
Yeah, me too. I thought I'd need to reach in and get a second battery, and I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't know that lake held so many perch. I was really amazed at the amount of perch that I caught. I caught 50, 60 perch.
I sat down on that one hole there where I was getting the good perch, and I bounced 2-3 holes right around the area, and I kept an eye on you as you got smaller in the distance going around. But just a piece of advice, I gave it out this week on Facebook to a number of people. When you got your shack out there and it's a little windy, now, your little brother Al, he always used to use them little wire screws to screw in his tent and stuff like that.
Yep.
And he'd call me lazy when I'd pull out the 7-inch lags. I get 5/16. Sometimes 7/16, I get some decent sized lags, but they're 6-7 inches long. And I got a nut driver that I just chuck into that Milwaukee drill. I mean, I'm carrying that big heavy drill around. Let's use it for something.
Put it to work.
Zip right into the ice. And when you're done, zip right out. I got a little bag. I keep everything in. It's all cool and stuff. So if you guys are tired of fighting by hand to put those screws in, just, run over to the hardware store, grab you some lags. I'd get them at least 5 inches long so you got something to really get some bite out there. But it makes it for easy to anchor down. Now, if your shack or your tent or your pop-up, whatever you got, doesn't have them, rig up some little loops. Get a little bit of cable or something and rig up some loops on the corners. A lot of them got some nice grommets, which will tell you exactly what size of a lag to go get. But it makes it a lot better than chasing your tent that's rolling across the lake because you weren't in it because you went hole hopping. Thanks to our buddy Mike Dunphy for helping me chase mine down because I was a long way from the shack when it started blowing.
I looked across the lake and I'm like, where did the shanty go? Where did the tent go? I missed it.
Yeah. Well, we had some other help out there, and it was really cool. And Our buddies from K&E Stopper Lures, they gave us some stuff that we were able to give out, some lures and stuff.
Yeah, some Icelandia jigs and jig and rappels and such.
Yeah, we had, even had some plastic kits out there and stuff.
What do we call them? They're not jig and rappels. They're the Yukon minnows.
Yukon something. I don't know.
Yukon shiners.
Yukon shiners. That's what, I think that's what they call them.
Yeah.
I got a box of them behind me over here. But anyway, we had a great time out there on the ice. Now, the bite was a little different. Now, we've done some research, and my research shows that I think you were right, Steph. The crappie during the day are still hiding in those weed beds. They're feeding down in those weed beds. Then, you know, when it gets towards evening, they move out to midwater to hide from the predators. And that's when you find them suspended, because there's still oxygen in those weeds. And so that's life.
Yeah, minnows and other table fare out there for them in those weed beds that are still green right now. We're still early ice, so there's still green weed beds available, and it hasn't pushed them out to their late winter staging grounds or anything like that.
Yep, so you're not going to find them out suspended real early in the day. If you do, congratulations. We weren't finding them out there on our trips out.
And this January bite has been finicky. I mean, that's been, they've been persnickety. They haven't been real aggressive like they were just before Christmas there when I got out on ice a couple of times. They were real aggressive, and crappies and bluegills just hammering. Now they really got to finesse jig them in and to catch them.
Yeah, and, you know, colors aren't as mattering as much as size.
Size.
I had to go down to one of those little tiny, you know, number 16 Scandias to get a few of them, and you know that gets a little tricky. That's a little tiny hook.
Mm-hmm.
But we did get some fish and got them cleaned up. I filled up a few of those and shared a little fish around, had a little bit of fry there at my house, using that coconut oil. Now
that's
getting a little tropical feel.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of cool.
Heart healthy.
Oh, is that what they're calling it? That why they're selling stuff now?
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, we had a great time out there fishing. It was finicky. Sunday was windy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. It got chilly, and the wind changed directions. Had my back in a whole different direction, but it was a beautiful sunset.
Oh, it was gorgeous out there. I saw that picture that Pat Bloom sent out.
Oh, yeah. Pat had the smarts. I was focused on fishing, but Pat had the smarts to take a great picture, and it turned out really great of a sunset. So if you guys see it out there, I shared it out on a couple of things, but we had a wonderful time. Now, some of the other lakes that I've been hearing about, there's been some good stuff. Now, the guys from the Bow Hunters Ice Freaks up there, they were up on Croton over the weekend. They had a good time, got a few good ones. I heard they did pretty good on the tip-ups. Did you see anybody out using tip-ups when you were out on Croton?
I saw some tip-ups out there. I didn't see any flags go up, but I was pretty concentrated on scouting for the upcoming tournament out there and concentrating on panfish.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there's getting to be safer ice. Now, I did do a little spot on Wood Radio here last week, and for those of you in the West Michigan area, you're probably familiar with Wood Radio. They had me on to talk about, you know, ice safety. And, you know, we made a point there. There is no such thing as safe ice. You're just how dangerous do you want to be? And the thicker it gets, the safer it becomes, but I'm never going to call ice safe. Unless I live in Iceland and it's about a mile thick or some craziness like that. But I want to remind all you guys to always be very cautious as you're out there. We saw the pressure cracks. You know, we were talking about the moaning, the groaning, the popping, the creaking that you hear of the ice. And that, you know, to an experienced fisherman, that means safe ice, because it's growing thicker. But it's never absolutely safe, and especially if you're taking kids out. Be a good parent. Be a good uncle. Whatever your job is. Great aunt. I saw some cute ones, and I could pick out in the suit that wasn't a guy. Out there fishing this past weekend, make sure you're watching over those children. They're our next generation. They're going to take care of us in the old folks' home and all that kind of stuff. Steph and I don't have kids, but boy, we got nieces and nephews galore. So yeah, we always want to keep an eye on those youngsters.
They're not very big, so those 10-inch holes, they can disappear.
Oh, yeah. If anybody out there needs a 10-inch auger, Steph's got one for sale. It's a nice gas-powered auger. But anyway, we always like to think safety first. Carry your rescue rope. Carry your picks. Yeah, things like that.
There's always soft spots out there. There's going to be springs, current, inlet feeder streams that are going to give you weak spots in the ice along certain areas, and you want to be careful of those.
Yep. Pay attention if you don't see a lot of tracks right over one spot. You know, be pretty suspicious of it, and do some spudding or drilling as you get there and get close, just to kind of be aware.
And be cautious if you see anybody, if they're out there on a spearfishing lake where they do a lot of spearfishing and they move those shanties around, those holes that they leave open, if they don't mark them right, those can catch you off guard too.
They'll drop a Buick in one of those. But anyway, yeah, we've had a great past couple of weeks out there fishing since we've been back from world practice. It's making ice wonderful, guys. The forecast I looked at this week, there's nothing above freezing for a while here in West Michigan. Up north, I've been seeing on the ice map, and you guys all ought to be paying attention to that ice map and contributing to the ice map, that we're getting a lot of great ice so that we can enjoy our favorite sport. We're going to take a quick beer break and swig a little beer. Give a little note to the sponsor and be right back. But MIIceGuys.com is where you want to be to keep up with the latest information in Michigan, the Great Lakes State, as we walk on water, podcasting hardwater fishing.
Hey, remember to stop on out to MIIceGuys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at MIIceGuys.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, one and all, welcome back to the MIIceGuys. We're drinking beer in studio. Steph's with me. How you doing today, Steph?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Well, we want to talk tournaments. Our two co-hosts, Chad and Anthony, have been out on the tournament circuit. We followed them to Rhinelander, and we had the good sense to turn around and come home.
They turned around and went another 1,000 miles north, or well, another 500 miles.
Oh, there you go. They went west.
They went north. They went west.
They went running with Sean, which is always dangerous. But anyway, they went out and competed in a few tournaments. So we thought we'd give you a little recap over those tournaments. You know, they went up to the Metagoshi there in North Dakota.
After the Monster Gills.
Got some monsters. Boy, I saw some of those pictures that they were posting. And the ones that Sean posted. Oh, our other buddy, our translator for Team USA. He was posting some pictures of some awesome ones. But I didn't really understand why he was fishing out of the truck. I think Sean might be a little lazy. But
it's really cold.
I can believe that. What were they, 4 or 5 miles from Canada? And that ain't the close Canada you guys got over there by Detroit.
Nope.
So
this is up on the North Dakota-Canadian border.
Yeah, that's north, man. That's further up than that movie Fargo.
It's north of Minot.
Yeah. North of Minot's too. But anyway, The boys, they made a fair showing up there on the Gills, but I think the locals might have got an edge on them there, maybe a couple of Minnesota boys. But then they went to Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Anthony knows a thing about Montana or two because I think he pulled a wife out of there.
Yeah, he's fished trout out there before, too.
Oh, yeah.
So he's fished them through the ice.
He fished a lot of things out there. But yeah, they took first place.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool to be seeing the pictures of them up there on Facebook holding up the big check. If you guys haven't seen that picture, it's on the USA Ice Team page on Facebook. So you can see all the great pictures there and a lot of great pictures of a lot of our teammates as they're competing around. We got busy last weekend, didn't take a lot of pictures, so we're going to have to work on that. Kelly already scolded me about that. But then Sunday, they went out to South Dakota.
Yeah, on their way back from West Yellowstone, they came back through South Dakota for the next weekend's tournament at Mitchell Lake.
Yeah, they gave it a good try there, got eighth place. That was good mm-hmm. showing for them. And then Anthony got on a plane and got back to his bride. Is Chad home yet?
Oh, yeah, he's home. He's in my garage working on the truck. Him and Anthony are both in the garage, my garage, working on the truck.
The red truck or Rocky's truck?
Rocky's truck. Doesn't have reverse for some reason, so they're putting a new transmission in it in the garage.
Oh, good thing you're a good buddy with a lot of tools and a big open garage. And thanks to your aunt for storing the boat so that the garage would be empty.
Garage is open.
But there's been a lot of other cool tournaments around. I see the Niffin boys have been doing well out on the Frostbite series.
Oh, yeah, having fun with the Bodeckers.
The Bodeckers. Yeah. Oh, Janice posts some of the greatest posts out there.
Yeah.
And if you guys haven't followed that and you're in the West Michigan area, MIFrostbiteSeries.com has the schedule, the standings, the results for some really nice low-budget tournament things. You know, you get into the NIFC, driving to Montana. Now, that's a fuel bill. But driving to Sessions or Reeds or Jordan or different lakes here around West Michigan, it's not that big of a deal. The entry fees, just over $20.
Yeah. And you don't have to have the high dollar gear to go out and do that. It's a walking tournament, so you don't have to have quads or snowmobiles or anything special like that. Everybody walks, and it's an even playing field at that point.
Yeah, we played last year with them. We're going to try and fit into a tournament here maybe this year, depending on our training schedule for the Worlds. But we've been supporting those guys. We're helping them out with their website and helping them out with some promotions, but it's a really nice tournament. And a couple of good guys, Brandon and Bill, putting that together. Just, you know, trying to run a backyard thing and have a lot of fun. But we also have Croton coming up.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, the NAIFC. That is the national tournament. The North American tournament series is coming to Michigan, and it's in Steph's backyard. Up there on Croton Pond, man, you got to get up there. If nothing else.
Third year in a row. So
get out there and just see how the guys are doing and stuff. Show up at the rules meeting over there.
Bring
the
kids up for the kids camp on Saturday.
Yeah.
They get a free fishing pole, fishing lessons. They can come out on the lake with the ice guys, the pros out there, and learn some lessons, parents and kids alike. And a lot of times the pros will hook them up with a pretty nice jig and some different advice, too, just to what they're using out there to catch them, plastics and such.
If nothing else, Uncle Steph will be there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think his fishing partner, Uncle Dale, will be there, too. So it'll be a great time. I know that a whole lot of the guys that we are teammates with, friends with, and everything else are going to be looking forward to coming out to that tournament. We've got also the Knutson's tournament coming up.
Yeah, it's a Vineyard Lake there.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be the big show.
That's
big
why
money
Anthony
on that.
Flew home.
Oh, yeah, Anthony.
Did I let that slip?
Yeah, well, I thought he wanted to see his wife.
He's like, I got Vineyard. I got to be home to scout.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think our other teammate, Myron, might have edge on that since that's his backyard.
Yep. Oh, you'll guarantee he'll be right there in the game.
And if any of you guys ever have the chance to shake hands and have a beer with Myron Gilbert, it's story time there. Mm-hmm. Uncle Myron will tell you a tale, a whopper every minute. It's a good time. We really enjoyed our time with him when we were out in Wisconsin.
We're going to have a good time with him in Finland as well.
Oh, yeah. But he told me, he says he can't have any pictures with girls because his girlfriend will get a little anxious. Yeah, right. So you and I are going to have to step in and take the pictures
with the girls.
We can
police that for him. We'll take one for the team.
Oh, I can take that one for the team. But, guys, there's a lot of great tournaments. I've seen the Panfish League has a lot of great ones coming up.
Blue Lake. The weekend after Super Bowl.
Land of Lakes.
Yep.
Are going to do one, too. There's a lot of good tournaments out there, and they're not all high dollar, and they're a lot of them for good, just average. You know, you don't have to be a pro that travels to Montana and stuff. Just average equipment, as long as you know what you're doing and feel confident about it, throw a couple bucks at it. You'll learn a lot and get to fish with some great guys and probably meet some really super fishing buddies. there's really cool people out there on the field. So check it out. Facebook has a lot of great things. We're trying to put some things up on our site as we get going and stuff. We're getting a little distracted this year because of Worlds, but don't hold us against us because we're going to hold up that good old American honor. And when we come back in the next segment, we're going to talk about Worlds and some cool things that we've got going on with our USA Ice team to share with you. But we got to take a little beer break, share a little time with the sponsor. But remember, that ice map out there on miiceguys.com can be your best friend, because if you want to drive off and go fishing somewhere, you really like to know there's ice before you take the grandkids and drive all that distance. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one. My choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Tees, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoes. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe.
We do like pie. We're the MI Ice Guys, and we do like pie. If you've ever seen us out on the ice, we are the two biggest guys with the shiny HT suits. Thanks to HT for sponsoring us with a great deal on suits. The Polar Fire suit, if you haven't tried one, awesome suit. Now, we walk around most of the time with them unzipped because it's just not cold enough here.
They're warm.
You know, Steph, he has several different suits, but that Polar Fire is a comfy, comfy suit. In fact, last weekend, we fished in shorts.
True, yes.
We had shorts underneath our bibs because we didn't want them all tangled up in our boots. You know, jeans, you got to put them over the boot and add a lot of work. But anyway, we're here to talk right now in this segment about the Worlds. Now, if you guys have been living under a rock and haven't heard of the episodes before, Steph and I, as well as our other two amigos, Anthony and Chad, are all on the USA Ice Team. Now, the USA Ice Team is America's competitive ice fishing team to go to the World Championships this year held in Kuopio, Finland. Now, Steph, you've been looking at the map. Kuopio, how do you describe where it is?
It's about midway up north, northern Finland. But it's like halfway up the country, probably not quite to the Arctic Circle, but it's darn close. So it's surrounded by this huge lake that just kind of...
It's big.
Yeah, it's big.
There's a lot of water out there.
Yep.
And they've got speed skating tracks out there, snow skiing tracks
out there. Cross country.
Everything out there. Because once this thing, you know, Finland believes that when the ice freezes, they've doubled their land mass. It's crazy out there.
They essentially have.
We are going to Finland to defend the American honor. We have red, white, and blue all over us. In fact, as proud Michiganders, we are going to be sponsored by Stormy Cromer. And Stormy Cromer has made every member of USA Ice Team custom hats. If you guys out there, I mean, every one of you knows what a Stormy Cromer is. I mean, that's the epitome of the old Yooper hat there.
Yeah.
And they did not have a red, white, and blue hat. But, you know, when they heard about our team, they created a red, white, and blue hat, and they embroidered it with our USA Ice Team logo on the side. And we're going to fish and compete in those hats because we're proud Michiganders and proud Americans.
They're fantastic hats.
Oh, my God.
If you've never had a Stormy Cromer, you know, pick one up. Check out their website.
And if you're one of those cheapskates that thinks they're expensive, put one on your head for a while. You won't think they're expensive anymore. You'll live in the thing. Our good friend, Sean, that's our translator on our team, was he, 24, 25 of these hats he owns?
Yeah.
He's addicted. He's got an issue.
And he's from Minnesota, eh?
He's from Minnesota. Think about it. We're Michiganders. Mm-hmm. We've got bigger pride. But anyway, we've got some great things coming up. The 22nd of February, we're going to be over there in Truefin on Muskellunge Lake with a world practice. Now, we've got a number of guys right here from the area, the four of us, plus we're going to invite Myron up.
Yep.
I think Kelly might even come down, shoot some video and stills of us while we're doing it. But we're going to invite you guys, our MIIs guys fans, to come out and fish with us. Now, we're going to go a little modified rules on this. Now, we're going to have to abide strictly by the world rules.
Yep.
Just for our practice sense. But for you guys, if you come in as a fan, all we're going to do is ask that you abide by a couple of the rules. Number one, stay in the zone. Number two, 5 meters. We have a rule in the worlds where you cannot be closer than 5 meters from any other competitor or a claimed hole. So now Steph and I, we've been having a lot of experience with this. And what the guys do is they paint sticks, right?
Yeah.
You grab a paint stick, you write your name on it with a Sharpie, and you stick that in the snow by your hole. That could have been tough on reeds last weekend. There was no snow to stick them in.
And not much ice to make slush.
No. But anyway, you put a marker down next to a hole, and you claim that hole. If there's a marker by a hole, you cannot drill a new hole or fish.
You can call within for a measurement.
5 meters,
yep,
of that particular hole. And that's protected ground. So we're going to ask you to abide by those two rules. Now we're going to let you use electronics. We're going to let you use power augers. We're going to not restrict you on baits and things like that. We're going to have to abide by those rules because we're in training for the worlds and we're going to go out there and represent you guys. So February 22nd up there on Muskellunge, if you have questions, hit the Ask an Ice Guy. We'll get you more details. If you can't find Truefin on your map, we'll help you out that. We'll put a post up. I think we can do that.
Yeah, with instructions.
Yeah, we'll get some information up there. And you guys come out and join us and learn a little bit more about the worlds. Hopefully we'll all be wearing our Team Ice USA stuff, and we'll get out there and show you how it's done, show you how we're doing it. We'd be more than happy to talk to you after our little heats. We're probably going to run some like hour heats or something like that.
You're like first to 25 or...
Oh, we've got games that we play all the time.
Yeah.
Now, other things that we're doing over here at Schmo's Brewery in Grand Rapids, if you guys are in the area, every Friday in February and March, starting the Friday after Super Bowl, we are going to have fish fries. Now, I've got a catering buddy. He's going to come over and he's going to fry... Yep, some fish, some fries, and I think some coleslaw. Put it in a basket, $10. Have dinner. Come out, hang out with the MIIs guys. One, two, three, four of us, who knows who will be here. We'll try and be here for as many as we can. We do have some practices and things that we've got to go to. I've got some beer work to do. Yep. And then, the last one, the end of March, is actually competition day. So we're going to be in Finland, but what we're going to do is have a couple of our other buddies here at the brewery with a computer showing some pictures and things that we've sent back from Finland so that you guys will feel like you're in touch with us and that you've joined us on our adventure off to Finland, defending that pride of a fine Michigander living in the proud USA.
Representing the U.S.
Oh,
so the have a good one. I think it's the 21st of March that we're
heading out. The 21st of March, yeah. We got our flights off to Frankfurt.
So less than 2 months. So, yeah, Frankfurt, Germany we fly to. And then from there we go on to Helsinki. And then we get to board a train for about 3 hours to head north.
That's better than that bus option.
And that's going to be very scenic and nice. That's going to be let us see a lot of the countryside that you wouldn't otherwise get to see. And I bet you get to walk around on a train and relax and
I bet Captain McNett's going to hold a meeting.
Probably.
He loves his meetings.
If he can find us.
If he can find us, exactly. But, yeah, join us at Schmoes. Join us out on the ice. There's going to be some really cool things. Now, if you're not close to West Michigan and can't join us for our practice day on the 22nd of February or one of the Fridays in February or March over here at Schmoes Brewery for a fish fry.
Or at any of the tournaments coming up.
Oh, yeah, we'll be at tournaments, too.
We'll be at NAIFC tournaments. A lot of the ice guys will be there. The world guys will be up there fishing. Bonehackers. I think the Neffens are probably signed up, so there's
a lot of good guys to come learn and talk to. There might even be a couple of manufacturer reps out there.
Well, that Friday night seminar, we usually have a couple of the pros put on a fishing seminar so you can learn some tips and tricks from them on presentation. And
if they give Myron the mic, it'll be educational.
Oh, yeah.
But another thing that we've done, we created a private site. We've decided that, you know, it costs a lot to go to Finland. And this is kind of one of those pay-to-play sports. Not all the sponsors have covered every dime that we need to do. So we've all done a little bit of cash outlay. We've created a site where you can be a supporter. And you can find a link right there on miiceguys.com to the wifc.miiceguys.com. And for $50, you get a private password into this site where Steph and I, at least, maybe the other guys, I know Kelly's going to help out with this. We are going to be posting videos, stills,
photos,
everything. We may even, if we can figure it out, put a little bit of audio podcast up there and everything else to share with the supporters back home. Our adventure as we travel up there, like Steph said, we're going to ride the train and get to see a lot of Finland as we go to the World Championships of Ice Fishing.
And they have a full itinerary for us of different places they're taking us and things when we're not fishing. They're keeping us busy.
Sightseeing and everything.
Keeping us busy, keeping us off the lake so we can't scout as much.
Yeah.
They have a game plan, trust me.
But anyway, we're going to get to see a lot of cool things that probably you guys haven't had the opportunity to experience. And being supporters, we're going to give you the gateway. We're not going to post this stuff on Facebook. We're not going to post this stuff on Twitter, Twiddle, Tweety, whatever it is. None of that stuff.
Instagram.
We've got our own private thing to take care of the people that take care of us. Because, you know, this is a costly event. And for those of you that are really interested in it, we appreciate your support and we want to reward you with the first base of information. From the MI Ice Guys to you, we're going to be living large. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have some more ramblings on the subjects. We found a few new gizmos. We found some new ideas. We had some crazy ideas while we were fishing last weekend. We're going to share those with you real quick when we get back. But you are listening to the MI Ice Guys on miiceguys.com podcasting hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State and living proud American lives. Hey guys, you got a picture of your good catch? Maybe that big whopper crappie barely fit through the hole? Whatever it is, everybody loves seeing a good ice fishing picture. So feel free to upload those to the MI Ice Guys Facebook page. You can find us facebook.com/miiceguys. Hoping to see you some big ones. Gizmos and gadgets. Ice Guyvers. I've been called that before, and I'm not offended.
Redneck engineering.
Redneck engineering, boy, I'll tell you, that's an ice fishing guy's way to go.
It's a talent.
I have seen awesome rigs. Guys that have put modifications on their sleds, you know, totally revamped them and stuff. Guys with the pieces of PVC pipe they've scalloped out to make rod holders.
Rod holders. You've seen my bucket that holds 10 rods.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is a sport designed for Michigan rednecks.
Yes.
We love to build stuff. We love to show it off to guys. And we're going to dedicate this segment to the Ice Guyvers of the Great Lakes State. some of the things that we've seen, some of the things that we've done. I was just showing Steph here on the break that I took the charger indicator, you know, Markham flashers, have a little percentage LCD display. I moved it to the outside of my bucket so that I can see without digging around, moving all my spare gear and stuff where it is. I don't have to reach down in there to plug it in and charge it. It's a cool thing to go.
Let you know if time for a charge and how you're doing and battery usage. Like you said, you ran it 4 days and you were down to 10%. So it
was 4 days, but we were still catching fish.
Yep.
It was a good deal. So it's over here next to me on the charger right now, and we're going to get her warmed up in case we want to go out tomorrow. But other cool things that we've put on there. Now, I built my own hopper. Now, for those of you that don't remember what a hopper is, hopper buckets are where you attach your flasher on a cantilevered arm off the bucket.
Yeah, you mount the battery and wires down on the bottom of the bucket for counterbalance, so when you set it on the ice, it doesn't tip over on you.
When you set it in the truck, it don't tip over.
Yep.
But the idea is that you can hold the bucket with your electronics on it in one hand and grab your big old cordless drill with your auger on it in the other hand and go, as we say, ice trolling.
Yeah. And the other convenient feature is you have a double bucket system, one top one to put your fish in.
Now, this week, I scored.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to the Schnitz.
My good buddy Brian DeVries.
The mother load.
If you guys are in West Michigan and have never had, or it's been a while since you've been to the Schnitz Deli over on Fulton Street, you go in and see Brother Brian. Brother Brian makes the biggest badass sandwiches. Now, Steph, you missed out, brother, because you had that meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
I went over and had the number 18 Russian. Yeah. Oh, it's on black rye. Did you
have a double dip?
No, I didn't have the. I didn't have. I was. You were tempted. Breakfast that morning, so I.
You had to go small.
But I got me a hell of a good sandwich.
Oh, I like that Big John.
And then I wheeled and dealed and made a deal with my friend, and I got a bunch of buckets. Now, the Schnitz Deli also owns Schnitz Bakery.
Yep.
Now, if you have a bakery near you, they have these little three-gallon buckets. Now, like Steph was talking, these three-gallon buckets fit inside your hopper bucket. Because down the bottom of the hopper bucket, you got your electronics, you got battery, you got spare battery for your cordless drill, you got some extra spare gear. Lures and yep. Such things.
It's got plenty of room down there to store quite a bit of stuff, actually.
You don't want to be tossing no slimy crappie down in there, eh?
Nope.
So you put this little bucket up in the top. Now, for those of us guys that are bigger guys, we don't like sitting down there with our knees up around our chin. So a taller bucket is a much comfortable seat.
And then by the time you add the other bucket, you're at a nice height.
Oh, yeah. So you got a double bucket rig. Now, this little three-gallon bucket is great because it's shorter. And, hey, this is Michigan, so we're only 25 fish here in the Pan Fishing League.
Get your counter out.
Get your counter out. And you slip that into the top, and now you got a nice bucket for your fish.
Yeah.
Over and above, down below where you got the counterweight battery and everything else.
And then by the time you add your little three-quarter seat there from K&E,
oh, that's yeah. Padded.
That thing's comfy. Fits on top of the bucket great. And it gives you room there to slide the fish in.
Slide the fish in. Nobody needs to know how many you're catching. But, you know, little modifications like that are really handy out on the ice to keep yourself compact, portable, getting around without having to drag a whole lot of stuff. Now, another modification that I made to my bucket is I got a little LED strip. Now, I found the Cree lights. Now, Cree LEDs, if you haven't found those, it's C-R-E-E. They're the ultra bright, super hot white ones. Now, Steph and I, you've heard us talk about tight lining, where you watch your line and you see a change in the line, you know you got a bite. This is very, very, very effective on crappie. When it gets dark, it gets hard to see your line. Some LEDs, and LEDs don't take a lot of energy off your battery. Piggyback them right right there on to your same battery you're running your flasher on. You go home every night. You can plug the thing in.
Yeah. Well, you ran yours for 4 days. And you had to lay down a couple of nights there, and you were still good.
Yeah, 4 days of lights and flasher and everything, and we were still fine. So it's no big deal. Just rig yourself up something. Some rod holders on the side, some rod holders off the front. There's a lot of great things. If you go to MI Ice Guys page on Facebook, I put some pictures up there of our hopper buckets. Even one that we built for our buddy Greeny.
Yep.
You remember that night we built that one?
Oh, yeah. It turned out good.
Nothing flat. And that's just a little showdowner. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you that, I understand, not everybody's got the budget like Steph. Go out and buy the best of the best of the toys and all these things. Or our buddy, Sean, who exceeds Steph sevenfold. But, you know, our buddy Greeny, he went out and he got the Markham Showdowner 2. They're $200, okay? Now they're $12. He got the little attachment thing to go off to an external battery. Well, we went over to the big box shop over here to the hardware store and bought up a little bit of stick aluminum, some nuts and bolts and such, and we built him a hopper bucket. And there's pictures of it right there up on Facebook for all of you to see. And it was a true ice giver. We mounted that thing to where you're sitting on the bucket, you're looking at your flasher, you're looking at your hole at the same time. And a lot of guys don't really understand. That's the big advantage.
Yeah, you don't have to haul a number of things around with you. Everything is right there in one unit. Your rods, your fish finder, your fish bucket.
And the line of sight.
Yeah.
You're looking at your flasher and your hole at the same time.
Yeah, they're all in the same field of view that's set up perfectly.
And for those of you guys with the bifocals on, the flasher's below the hole, so that's helping you out there.
It's a little closer. You don't have to set. I see so many people using the flashers, and they set it on the far side of the hole, and then they're fishing the hole in front of them, and they're watching their line and trying to watch the flasher at the same time, and that's pretty tough. You're going to miss bites. Because if you're looking at the flasher, you're not watching your line, whereas if the flasher's first, then the line.
It seems to be a lot more effective.
And yeah.
We're just saying that because of fish counts. But, you know, there's some really cool things out there. And, you know, I'm going to put the offer out there, the same as last year. I'm going to make it better than last year. If you get on our Facebook page and put up a great ice giver thing, something you home built, engineered up yourself with your redneck badass self, and put that up there. If we can meet up, I got some stuff in the K&E box over here that we can hook you up with. Now, Steph and I did get an opportunity to get out there with some of the new Sitka stuff from K&E. We were out with the Yukon spoons and the Yukon shiners there. And the shiners is kind of like the old Rapala jigging.
Yeah, jigging Rapala is very similar to that.
But, you know, you can get them at Myers for a little more economical.
The threes work great for crappie.
I got a perch on them.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we were banging away with those. And then the spoons, boy, the spoons, they were jumping on a crappie pretty good this last weekend. So, Jack, if you're listening, yes, I did use some of the stuff, tested it out. It worked good. The glow on them really worked as the sun was going down, and I was using the LED on the front of my bucket to charge that up. Really worked good. I did lace a little plastic around it, just give it a little extra wiggle jiggle. But, you know, it's all about the dance and the motion. The girls like the motion.
Oh, yeah. And then, do you see that one post on our site there? The guy with took the auger motor and had it hooked to a cart that had the wheels.
Yeah. That was the bomb.
That was fantastic.
Boy, guys, if you haven't seen that, we popped that up there on the site. Guy had taken his gas auger.
And you drop it into your...
He had some kind of quick connect there.
Yeah.
And he had a little buggy rigged up on that thing to pull his sled around on the ice and everything. Then he'd detach off the auger motor, hook it onto the auger drill his holes, put it back on, right on home. It's crazy. The only thing that beat that was the guy that had the big old electric caterpillar thing. That was pretty phenomenal, but he's not actually selling those. So there's some really cool Ice Guyver stuff out there. I know a lot of you guys have built your own shanties. I've been watching on Facebook all the, you know, the Ice Freaks, and everybody else has some really great things out there. Whether you're doing that or got your own spring bobber or making your own jigs or something, you know, our buddy Jason over there in New Zealand, he's got the ski spinners. He's got a whole line of jigs, and he's been pretty active out there on Facebook. Check out some of his stuff. He gave me some, and I started playing with them, but then I got catching on something else and got distracted. But Jason, I will try more of them. And thanks for those jigs. Guys, we're the MI Ice Guys. Want to remind you one last time about, hey, we are going off to the Worlds. We do have some information up there about how you can sponsor us. Come on over to a fish fry. We'll be hanging out, drinking beer. I may even be serving fish. Who knows? It depends on the weekend. But I didn't tell them. Every week, we're going to try a different beer for the beer batter on the fish.
Oh, awesome.
So we're going to do the Schmoes thing and variety it up with that.
Awesome.
But, guys, it's the MI Ice Guys, podcasting hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State. I'm Chaz.
I'm Steph.
And we've enjoyed our time with you guys. So
thank you.
Stay safe on that ice, brothers. Mm-hmm. There is no safe ice. Mitigate your opportunity. Be cool.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys, and enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.